Father God, we want to just humbly come before you and echo this song over and over, Lord. What a beautiful name the name of Jesus Christ is for those that have placed their trust in you, Lord. We know how beautiful it is. We know that you are the answer to our prayers. We know that you are the great physician, that you are the great healer, that you are the great comforter. You are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are our El Shaddai. You are our Elohim. You are our everything, Father. And you are the Word of God. We thank you, Father, that you have no rivals, that you have no equals, that you are a God that is supreme, that you are all-powerful, all-knowing, but yet you are all personal for each one of us, that God, that if anyone calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that is my prayer today. I pray that God, that people will hear your word, that they don't hear me, but they will hear your word, the word of God, spoken so personal to them, wherever they are, in their house or traveling in the car or wherever, that I just pray that God, that your words will speak truth and love and grace and comfort and peace like never before. Today we give you this service and we thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done for us in our life and what you will do. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, I want to thank our praise team, and I want to thank our media for, you know, when you're doing live stream and you don't know oftentimes what's going to happen, you know. And so every once in a while, there's going to be technical difficulties that will happen. And But I want to make sure that that you know that we know many of you guys are watching and listening, especially as I begin this brand new series. But before I start this new series, I want to do something. Tomorrow is a very important day. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. And here at Living Hope Baptist Church, one of the things that we really keep in mind and keep at the forefront is our veterans and thinking about those people that serve in the military and those people that over these past 100 years that have given their life from all the different wars, but have given their life sacrificially for our country. I want to personally, before I begin, I want to personally just say thank you. I want to thank you so much for you families that if you have loved ones that have been serving or is serving right now, I want you to know that we're thinking about you, we love you, and we appreciate because you are sacrificing so much as well. Not having your husband or wife or maybe son or daughter with you or your father or your mother. And so we just want to just pause. We want to say thank you. And we want to take this time and just show reverence and honor of our veterans that have sacrificially given their life for our country. Today I want to begin to do something that I have never done before as a pastor. Matter of fact, in the past 30 years, as a Christian, I have read the Bible. It's taken me a while to go through the Bible. I've read all parts of the Bible, but I have never, ever done what I'm about to do in this coming series. And that is to teach you and go through the book of the Bible. And I'll talk about that in just a second. I want to start off with our verse of the week. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It is Him, and Him alone that we want to honor. It is Him that we want to lift up, and we want to show all reverence. We want to invite Him into our church. We want to invite Him into our homes. We want to, more importantly, invite Him into our personal lives. to be able to hear his voice, to be able to live out the type of life that he would want us to live, to be able to understand his instructions, to be able to understand what his will is for our life. Now, we may all have different types of jobs, professions, and different types of lifestyles, but we all have a calling. We all have what God has instructed us, and that is the will of God, and understanding what God's will is for all of our lives. And number one, and that is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, to go through him, to have him live through us and in us, and to be able to spread his good news, the word of God, to every single person in this world. And so I pray that God will speak through me to you through his word today. I pray that he will hide me behind this cross, and that it's not me that you're listening to, but instead it's this word of God, it's this Bible that you are holding. And I pray that you would, if you have a second, if you don't have your Bible with you, and I hope many of you guys have notes, but to take notes and to have your Bible. Maybe for some of us, we're going to dust it off because we haven't been in the church for a while. Maybe for some of us, we're going to get some of the pages unsticky out. And maybe for some of us, maybe you're going to have to tape it because you're in it constantly, and you're going to end up having to retape it and go back over those highlights that you've already done. And God bless you for doing that. But I am truly excited to do a series on the Word of God. It is something that I have been praying about literally for months, and it's something that I have been writing, and I've already written the first six sermons already, and although that they will probably change a little bit through time, because they usually always do, but I am prepared and I am ready to teach you the whole entire Bible, the summary of each book of the Bible. You know, for some of you guys that are curious and excited about that, you're like, I didn't know what this book is about. I didn't know what this chapter or what this is about. I didn't know the totality of what even the Bible really was. You're going to end up getting a lot of answers and to your many of your questions. And I want you to know that you are welcome to email me or call me or text me. And we can set up a time. I can send you notes as well, even more detailed notes than what I'm going to have time to even give you today and throughout these weeks in terms of the Word of God. There may be books that maybe you've avoided. Maybe you're like, I don't want to even really want to learn about that book, or, hey, I got to this book and, you know, and I fell asleep, you know, four times while I was trying to get through the genealogy or through the numbers or through certain people that I can't pronounce. And oftentimes that can be true. And so, and then there's going to be times that, you know, that there's going to be books that you're going to say, you know what, man, this really encouraged my heart. This really is really what I needed to hear. And I hope that that's what this series will be for you. Now, some of you may be asking it to yourself right now, how long is this series going to take? And I was prepared for that, and here's my answer. It's going to take as long, well, if you know how long the Bible is, which we'll get to in just a minute, you can do the math. And I don't want to scare anybody right now, but I'm going to be doing the introduction, and then next week I'll start in Genesis, but we're going to keep preaching, and I'm going to keep going through this until we're done or until Jesus comes back, but I think you're going to get a lot, because each week is going to be completely different. Each week will be a different story, a different inspiration by the inspired Word of God. If you would, I want you to go ahead and turn to one of the most powerful places to start when you're talking about the Word of God. Go ahead and start and open up your Bible. You can open it almost like straight into the middle and get to the book of the Old Testament of Psalms. Psalms 119 is where we're going to start. We're going to be in two key verses that, if you're writing notes right now, where should you start? Well, we started at John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That was in the New Testament of John 1:1, but I'm going to take you to the Old Testament, to a place to start so you understand the actual Bible and what this Bible is really all about. Psalms 119, go to verse 11. And then we'll move over to another verse in just a second in the same chapter. These two verses are going to be the theme for our verses for this morning. And each week I'm going to have a different theme, a different verse and stuff. But verse 11, let's look at what it says. It says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." One of the things that we need to understand is when we have the Bible hidden in our heart, it doesn't mean it needs to stay hidden in terms of the fact that we're secret Christians, that we don't want anyone to know that we're Christians, that it's just between us and God, and we shouldn't tell anybody that we're Christians. That's not what that's saying. It means that we have hidden it. We have kept it. It is alive. It is going inside of us, and it should be outflowed to every single person that we meet. It should be living out every single day, that our actions, our words, on how we say things, what we should do, the way that God has instructed us for us to live. But we must have the Word of God dwelling with us each and every day, as if we were learning anything else. If we were to watch TV or listen to a song, we should be able to have those words memorized. And I encourage each person to try to memorize at least one verse every single week. When I first became a Christian in 89. I started here in 98. I always get those flipped with my dyslexia here. But in 89, that was the first thing they challenged me to do as a believer, was try to memorize one verse every single week. And so it was my goal to hide those things in my heart each and every day, so that way, 30 years later, I would be able to hopefully be able to quote and be able to live those things out. It would be fresh on my mind. Now move over to same chapter 119, but go to 105. You may need to flip a page or two to to verse 105. Watch this. "The word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." It's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And we'll be talking about what a lamp was used for in the Old Testament, besides just to give light, and how it was to illumine things. But that's what we are. We are considered to be the salt and the light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and we are to be the salt and the light. We're to be the aroma of Christ. We are to be the ambassadors of Christ. We're representing Jesus Christ. And if people can't see salt and light in us, then we need to question, are we living for Jesus Christ? Has the Word of God dwelled within our hearts? Is it living? Is it changing us? And if it's not changing us, if people can't see any fruit in our life, then we need to question why. What is going on in our life for it not to happen? So your word, the word of God, is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. And when you know God's word, you are going to be able to see things that you never saw before. I didn't understand really what I was reading before I became a Christian. And yes, I read a lot of the Bible. I tried to understand what the Bible was. I always had a respect for God, but I never had a relationship with God. And there's a difference. Many of people are filling up the pews, or claiming to be Christians, or claiming to, yeah, I'm a Christian, just because you may end up believing in God. But is he dwelling? Is he living inside of you? Is he a part of your everyday life? So it allows us to be able to see him in a new way when we've invited him into our life. We're able to see new things in the Word of God that we've never seen, because he's revealed those things to us. We're able to feel his presence. When we read his scriptures and when we read his word, it's not like that it's just black and white and maybe some red lettering. Instead, it's really him talking to us, and I'll get to that in a second. But to be able to feel his presence, to guide us like a shepherd does his sheep. Now, the first place that we must go as believers and unbelievers is by asking an important question about this Bible. Is the Bible the true word of God? Is this truly the inspired word of God? Or did just men just write it, and then we're supposed to just put our faith in men and hope for the best and life, because this sounds like a good book. It's got some really cool, interesting stories. It's got some archaeological top stuff that people saw. It's got some love letters. It's got some funny things in there. It's got some inspirational things, some good nuggets of truth in there. People look at the Bible, but is this truly the inspired word of God? Did God inspire? Did God have people truly write this book? And we call this, in Christian world, we call this the apologetics. It's showing evidence. It's showing proof. It's, in a way, it's defending our faith as Christians. Now, I really have got to the point where I don't really feel like I need to defend the Word of God, because the Word of God can defend itself. What I want to do as a pastor, as a Christian, is I want the Word of God to speak for itself, but hopefully explain it where people can understand it. And that's what I'm hoping to do through these sermon series for you and for people that are struggling and wondering, is this really truly the Word of God? Should I place my faith in Jesus Christ, or place my faith in really truly that this is the Word of God? Well, based off the history, based off the archaeology, based off the people, based off the dates, based off the places, based off its influence, based off its power, it's truly the Word of God. It has changed people by the billions. Think about all the churches. Why would all the churches be built? For a lie? For a false thing? Why would all these people come to know faith and want to fill the churches? Why would people be willing to die for a lie? From the very beginning, God's word has always been under attack. But also from the very beginning, God's word has been a source of power and influence like no other book in the history of the world. Over 100 million Bibles. That's 100 million Bibles are sold or given away every year. It's been the best-selling book since it's ever been published, since it's ever been distributed. It's been the number one book, Guinness Book of World Records. Nothing has ever outpassed the Bible. 100 million. It has been literally has put into 349 different languages. The Gideons. You know the Gideons, when you show up in your hotel room and you're looking around at different stuff in your hotel, and you open up the drawer and guess what there is? Yep, a Bible. We can thank the Gideons for that. Their Gideon ministry has done an unbelievable job on distributing. Just their first billion Bibles that they distributed took 93 years. 93 years, their first billion. Their second billion of Bibles they distributed only took them 14 years, from 2002 to 2015. Over 2 billion Bibles distributed just by one particular ministry. It's pretty amazing. And as I said, from the very beginning of time, this book, the Word of God, has been attacked. The Word of God had been attacked. We can go back from Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, from none other than Satan himself. When God created all the angels, the Elohim, the supernatural, all the angels, and Satan being the chief angel, being the archangel, being second highest. Okay? Now, I want you to understand that Satan is not equal to God. Not equal. He doesn't have, in terms of an equal to him. But he does have rivals against him. He does have people that are opposite of him. And there's a difference between being opposite, evil, and being equal. And so please make sure that you remember that. And here's Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" This was the very first attack on the Word of God. He's altering God's words. He's lying to Adam and Eve. He knows what he's doing. He's deceiving them because he's wanting them to automatically to be deceived, to be like him, to follow on his side. And he knew that this separation from this time on would create a major problem here on earth. And this is why the word of God is so important. What else do we need to know about God's word? Well, first of all, it's a short little library. This library is a collection of 66 books, each separate, with 150 songs, which is action. It needs a new book and holy. He said, be holy for I am holy, which I'll talk about in the weeks to come. The word of God is a letter. This letter contains instructions, guidance, a warning, protections, proof. It's supernatural. The word of God is considered the sword of a spirit to help you in terms of the spiritual military. Yes, not only do there's with Memorial Day and understanding that people fight in physical wars, I want you to understand that the word of God is used in a supernatural way. The Elohim, the supernatural that was created, Satan and his enemies, his demons that were cast out. And the Bible tells us that he's roaming around like a prowling lion waiting to devour. He wants you to be his. He wants you. He's desperate for you. He does not want you to hear the word God. It's almost like he's messing with our camera. I mean, our media was telling, hey, the cameras are shutting down. It's like he's messing with us. And here we are praying and making sure that you guys can hear the message, the word of God. And he does that. He oppresses people, but he also can possess people. And that is biblical as well. The word of God is a megaphone of truth. I want you to think of this as the word of God, as this megaphone that he speaks out to people in so many different ways. He's yelling your name. He's calling out for you to have a responsibility to live for him and to do what's right and to live according to his will. And sometimes he speaks from the megaphone. He speaks through people. He speaks through the word of God. He speaks through circumstances of life. If there's a time right now that I think that God is getting our attention, it's right now. If we're not listening now, when are we going to listen? But he also comes in such a small, intimate, personal way, and where he just whispers to you. You ever lay in bed or you driving in the car and it's quiet and he can just, maybe you're outside on the porch and drinking a cup of coffee and you're just listening to the birds and you're just listening and God is just speaking to your spirit and your soul. Well, he does that. Sometimes he shouts and sometimes he whispers. If Jesus was to come inside your home today, knock on your door, wouldn't you want him to come in and talk to you? I would have all sorts of questions, but you know what? I would just want to be quiet, and I would just want to listen to what he has to tell me. And that's what's happening. Every time you open up the Bible, it's like him knocking on your door, and you get to invite him in. And he with you, and y'all sup together, Revelation tells us. That's also having a personal relationship with him. The word of God is also the law. The first five books of the Old Testament is called the Torah. The Torah simply just means that it's instructions and righteousness. The church, if we didn't have a law, we wouldn't know that we were sinners. If we didn't have a moral compass to know that, hey, I shouldn't go over there and beat that person. Hey, I really shouldn't go over and steal that person. Hey, I really shouldn't go over there and take that person's wife. Hey, I really shouldn't go and murder or do something like that. We have a moral compass. And so the law is set there for us to understand that by doing wrong things, by doing things that God says, no, this hurts my relationship with you. This hurts your relationship with other people. So I'm going to give you these laws. I'm going to make sure that you understand that there's a moral and righteous compass to follow in our life. And we need to understand that we are sinners. And if we didn't know that we were sinners, then we wouldn't know that we needed to be saved. And we need to be saved. We all need to be saved. Because from the very beginning, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God was sitting at the throne. And God had had a great conversation with Jesus and said, you know what, I have a job for you to do. I'm going to need you to leave the throne of grace, and I need you to come down, and I need you to go save the world, because they have gone their own way. So the word of God is a light. In Psalms 119, 105, as I read at the beginning, it's God's light to help direct our paths each and every day. This world has become so dark. It's been dark, but the darkness is getting over and over, and we need to turn on witches, and we need to turn on the night lights everywhere we go. Christians, we need to all rise up. This is not just about living. No, this is about every single church being the church and living it out each day and being the word of God everywhere. We all need to light up. We all need to be lit so the world can see that we're not willing to compromise. We're not willing to follow worldly things. We're not willing to follow all the icks and isms and asms and the psychologies and the social media, if you to the extremists of this place or this place, and hitting two different poles. And it's so hard to know who to follow and what to follow, because there's so much garbage out there, and it's hard to find the truth, but I'm telling you, God's word is always truth. It's never going to lie to you, ever. It's always going to shed truth. And I love the fact that later on that we won't even need to worry about darkness for the rest of our life. For those who are in Jesus Christ, those who have given their life to Christ, listen to Revelation 22:5. There will be no more night, no more darkness. There will be not a need for a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they, which means we, will reign forever and ever with God Almighty. Amen and amen. Sounds pretty awesome. Now I was thinking about, as the word of God, how important is it? You know, there's a lot of things that we put in front of God every day, in front of his word. And I'm guilty of this every single day. You know, but what is it that we put before him? I mean, I know we go to our jobs, and I know we have families, and I know we got to make an income, and we got to take care of bills, and we got to deal with stresses, and we got to deal with health problems, and we got to deal with so many things. But you know, there's so many false gods, there's so many idols that we put out there, and God's always had a word to say about that. And I started thinking, just simply our cell phones. What if we carried our Bibles everywhere like we do our cell phones? Could you imagine what that would look like? What if we flipped through it? What if we flipped through our Bibles and we went to all the different parts of Bibles like we do apps, just to see what they have to offer us? What if we turned around in our cars? How many of you guys have ever left your phones at the house or your charger and you're like, oh my gosh, we have got to turn around? Well, we've already driven 2 miles. So we've already driven 100 miles. I don't care. We're going back. Would we ever do that for the Bible? What if we gave it to our kids, started teaching our kids and say, hey, kids, this is the most important thing that I'm ever going to give you, more than a car, more than a ring or jewelry, more than anything. What if I tell you right here is the greatest thing that I could offer to you? I love the fact that our youth pastor, Nick, went around last week and gave our youth a Bible. He could have given them anything he wanted to give them, but he chose to give them a Bible. And that meant a lot to me, because it was the greatest gift that he could actually give my two kids and our youth. Nick, I want to say thank you for that. What if we use the Bible in case of emergencies? It's our go-to source. Before we go to anything else, before we go to anybody else, why don't we go to the Word of God and see what the Word of God says about it? What if we realize that those verses were like little text messages from God to say, hey, this is here to encourage you. This is here to direct your path. I'm just wanting you to know I'm still here. Take me with you. I'm chatting with you. What if we talked with him as much as we talked on it to other people, or just was on social media, which is the average of 2.5 hours a day? What if you spent 2.5 hours with the Word of God, with Jesus Christ? Could you imagine your wisdom and your knowledge and where you would be in your spiritual life? Now, in terms of a Bible study, and I'm going to get through this as quickly as I can. In terms of a Bible study about the Bible, the word Bible comes from the word Biblia, which means book, okay? It just means book. What is the difference from this book, from all the other books, and why does all those other books don't get the same attention? Why doesn't churches being built up? Why is it all these other books changing billions of people's lives? It's because this book is a unique book. This book is a special book. There's no other book by it. Why? Because the Word of God is inspired by Him and for us to live out, and it is the Holy Bible. Holy means to be set apart, and it is set apart. There's no comparison to it. There never has been, and there never will be. This logos, meaning the word, in the Greek, it talks about the nature or the existence of God being together. This is where it comes from. When the Greek were writing and transcribing this book, it's the nature of God, its existence. There's two main divisions of this book, and I'll be sharing more as the weeks come, but you have your Old Testament and the New Testament. And the word testament literally means a covenant or an agreement. The Old Testament is the original covenant, and the New Testament is the new covenant that is made through Jesus Christ and through His blood. And people have asked me, you know, or have said different things, but hey, Troy, which one is more important, the Old Testament or the New Testament? Yes. The answer is yes. Both of them are equally important, because both of them is centered around Jesus Christ. Both of them are centered around Jesus Christ. Well, I don't live from off the Old Testament. I only live by the New Testament. Well, you're not going to have the New Testament unless you have the Old Testament. And I'm going to get more into that as the weeks come. The Old Testament is the account of a nation. What nation is the account of Israel? The New Testament is the account of a man. Who is the man? Jesus Christ. You can basically describe the Bible in two words. Write this down. Promise, Old Testament. Fulfilled, New Testament. Equals Jesus Christ. Promise of the fulfillment of Jesus Christ. And then you have His fulfillment of all the things that He did and will do. 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, 66 books. There's your formula, how long this is going to take to do a summary of each book. No, we're not going to go through every single scripture. We're going to give a summary so you understand what it's about. It was written over a period of 1,500 years on three different continents. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John was completed around 90 AD. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy was written around 1400 BC. It was written by over 40 authors. 40. And this is my favorite part, that they're all different kinds of people, just like in the church today and us as being the church. We're all different kinds of people. Joshua was a military leader. Daniel was a prime minister, a royalty. We have Amos was a shepherd. David was a shepherd. Luke was a doctor. Peter was a fisherman. Paul was a Pharisee, just to name a few. These books were divided into seven different groups. There are 17 historical books in the Bible. Not hysterical, but historical. But there are also some hysterical things about the Bible. Let me just give you a few of some funny things about the Bible. You can go to 2 Kings chapter 2 a little bit later on, but let me just read you this little scripture. Elisha went up to Bethel. He just got through from Elijah getting inspired. Elijah had already ascended in a whirlwind of chariots and ascended into heaven. And so Elisha gets this power, this same power as Elijah. And so Elisha went up to Bethel. As he was walking along the road, literally some teenage boys, I think they were just a bunch of punks, some teenage boys came out of town and started making fun of Elisha. Sounds real cool, huh? And this is what he called them. Get out of here, Baldy. And again, they said it again. Get out of here, Baldy. Just the fact that they called him Baldy. Okay? He turned around. He looked at them. And he called down a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And then two bears came out of the woods and mauled all 42 of these people. Could you imagine that? By the way, don't ever call anyone baldy. Proverbs 11:22 says, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. Judges 3:21 speaks of a man stabbing a king that is literally so fat. Oh, this was depressing because I started thinking about myself. This king was so fat when he came in and he stabbed the king, and it went so far into him that it got stuck in his blubber. Literally in his blubber. He couldn't find the end of it. So he just kept it there. And then you have in Numbers chapter 22 where a man named Balaam was beating his donkey to death, and God said, you know what? I'm going to do something funny. So the donkey started talking to the man, Balaam. You can read all sorts of great stories and funny stories, some hysterical things, but also 17 historical things, books in the Bible. There are 5 poetical books, Psalms, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, for the name of Sue. There's 17 prophetic books. What is prophecy? The prophetic, basically foretelling what is going to happen. Over 400 prophecies in the Old Testament. And while Jesus was on earth for 33 years, he fulfilled over 300 prophecies being fulfilled. Some people put it this way, and people have shared this before, being able to fulfill just one prophecy would be the same thing as a person that was blindfolded. You grab all these silver dollars. You covered the state of Texas 2-inch high in depth. You paint one red, and that blind man that is blindfolded goes and finds the right one. That is true prophecy. Nostradamus, all these fake people, false prophets and all them, they can't do that. Witchcraft, foretelling, all these things, these tarot card readers, these magic people, it's all show, it's all make-believe. There's a way, but only Jesus Christ was able to fulfill the promises that were done by the Old Testament people. In the New Testament, there are 4 divisions, 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke are what are known as the Synoptic Gospels, which means the first part of that is sin, which in Greek means the same. Or synonyms, optic, as you can imagine, means to see, to put together. They mean the same thing. John, on the other hand, he's more of a theological and expresses Jesus in a different way. And I love the book of John. I love reading it and just learning his story as well as he writes 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, and also the book of Revelation. The Holy Spirit comes from the history book of Acts. The book of Acts, we are still living out the book of Acts, but it is a historical lesson of understanding how the church started. You can go back and look at that, and I'll get to those later on. There are 21 epistles, which epistle just means letters. And lastly, we have the book that stands by itself, the book of Revelation, meaning the unveiling of what's to come. If there's anything people have given a lot of thought and opinion about the end times and what Revelation and when Jesus Christ is returning. And one thing is for certain, there's no discrepancy that Jesus is coming back, but when Jesus is coming back. Even Jesus himself says, I don't even know when I'm coming back. Only my Father in heaven knows when I'm going to return. But he gives us different signs. He gives us different things to look for in the Word of God. And many people have said, hey, we're drawing closer, and we are. That's one thing I do know. We are getting closer. We're not getting further away. We are getting closer. When is that going to happen? I don't know. If Jesus doesn't know, I surely don't know. And if anybody says that they do know, please don't follow what they're saying, because Jesus Christ doesn't know. And Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And as I close here today, I just want you to know that, as I said, a great way to start off by understanding and then by bringing about the Word of God in your home and into your life, I want you just to understand a fun little acronym on the word Bible itself. The Bible, a basic instruction before leaving Earth. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. It's what we're supposed to do right now. If we don't get to know him now, how are we going to know him in heaven? What are we going to be looking for? No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can even conceive what God has in store for those in Christ Jesus. For I've been crucified with Christ, and it's I who no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. We need to memorize these scriptures. We need to hold on to his truth, and we need to realize that we have something unbelievable waiting for us, for those that love and invited Christ in their life. Its influence and its impact on my life since 1989, my junior year, there has been no other influence that has been more powerful. There's nothing that's been life-changing. There's nothing that's helped my marriage more, helped me be a better friend, helped me be a better father, helped me be a better pastor, helped me be able just to be a better Christian than the Word of God. Everything rests upon this. My whole life rests upon this. I love what Dwight D. Eisenhower said as I close. The Bible is endorsed by all the ages. Our civilization is built upon its Word. In no other book, is there such a collection of inspired wisdom, reality, and hope. And friends listening right now, we need this more than ever before. We need literally true wisdom today. We need a new reality. All the reality TV, all the social media, all the newscasts, all the people that are taking our minds and our hearts in all these different directions. And who are we following? What are we following? Don't follow anything unless his name is Jesus Christ. Why? Because he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can go to the Father except through me. If you forget, look on your money. In God we trust. It started off that way. It's supposed to be founded on that way. For 2,000 years, evil and unbelievers have been trying to destroy this book, but has never been able to do so. Why? Because it's everlasting. Matter of fact, it's not dying out, but it is spreading out all over the world. There's only a few countries right now that will not allow you to have the Bible. North Korea, Somalia, the Maldives, Libya, just to name a few, China. People having to have secret. Morocco is another one. You know, the secret places to be able to try to bring. But if you bring it in, you're going to be punished. So as I invite the praise band back up here as I close, we need to be people that will take the Word of God everywhere we go. Millions of people have sacrificed this word, this truth, this life to the world and has given their life. Just like the veterans in the past that gave their life for our country, so are millions of people that have given their life for the name of God, for the Word of God, because it's that important. Why is it so important? Well, John 3:16-17 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his begotten Son, his only Son, that whoever believes in him, whoever invites him into his life, whoever calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You just pray and say, Lord, I want to invite you into my life. I know that I'm a sinner and I confess my sins. And for this day forward, I never, not one time ever want to go another day with not having you in my life. And I want you to fill my life with the Holy Spirit. And at that time, you will be saved for all of eternity. It does not matter what you have ever done or what you ever will do, because we are all sinners and fallen short of the glory of God. But we are saved by faith and grace alone. It is not by your works. There's not anything that you can do to earn God's favor or salvation. Nothing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Through Jesus alone, they might be saved. And I pray, that that will be your heart's desire today. God bless you and thank you. And I hope that you will come back as we begin a brand new beginning of Genesis next week.